That's what Bert is there for.
I don't want you anywhere near my child. Especially loving him. That'd be a little weird.
Loving you.
It's easy because you're 1.5 and can't say no.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 58 of the League of Legends Anonymous podcast. I am your host, Sam, aka Just Casual. Here I have with me Blake, aka Wise Papa Smurf.
What's happening?
And Ernie, aka Nova XT.
Hello.
I think I pointed the right way. I'm not really sure. The stream is actually flip-flop from my Skype window. It's kind of confusing.
Yeah, I have everyone like set like 1, 2, and 3. So I don't really. Yeah.
I can't watch it. I don't have the internet. So
oh, that's right.
Blake's on the far side over here.
Far left.
Yep. And then Sam's in the middle. And then I'm on the right.
Yeah. Look what you guys are missing out by not being on the stream. All our listeners. You can see
three
that.
Boxes with us in various positions. That could be you watching this.
You can see what shirts we're wearing. Blake has plenty of shirts, plenty of hats. He's wearing a Slurm shirt, which is correctly portrayed in the Skype window, but backwards on Twitch. And my Cheerio shirt, which is backwards in Skype and correct on Twitch. I don't know what's going on.
Wait,
and then you
really?
Can see, yeah, I think so. We'll find
Cheerios.
Out in like 13 seconds or
it
whatever.
Says Cheerios.
But pretty sure. Am I wrong?
I can see
I'm
Cheerios.
Wrong. Wait, what the hell? I see. But wait, Blake and my shirt are
correct direction.
What the witchcraft? I'm so confused right now.
I'm a magic maker, man.
All right, now that I wasted what 2 minutes doing nothing, welcome to episode 58 of the Lola podcast. We got a big episode for you guys, but before that, we have some big news, Blake.
Okay, so guys, we have our first real sponsor here on the Lola podcast, and that is, I don't know if you can see this because I can't see my own Skype window. Here we go. Okay, that is Gentleman's Beard Balm, right? And this is a picture of the can. The can.
It's very sturdy.
Yeah, it's a very sturdy can. You know, nothing breaks. It's like the size of a shoe polish can, basically. Gentleman's Beard Balm. What this is a product that our good MIA buddy Luke heavily endorses. I have just put some on right now, and you'll notice how soft and controlled my beard is, right? But what you do not know, because you're not in my house or under my nose, is that my beard smells like a very clean bathroom right now.
And there is the end of the sponsorship.
Yeah. But no, whenever I say that, it's a very, very nice smell. Smells great, like fresh linen or something like that, right? Mm. And this, you know, it's like aromatic oils, kind of smelly. Smells really nice, basically, and clean. So I get to smell that for like the next 30 minutes, and it's effing awesome. So aside from my beard being soft, supple, and touchable and caressable, it is also very nice to the smell. My wife even said so, and she hates everything. So that being said, Gentleman's Beard Balm has agreed to do a promotion with us by which if you go to their website and buy a can of Gentleman's Beard Balm, you can search Google or whatever, and you buy a can, in the promotion window, all you have to type in is Lola, and you get a discount, and we get some money.
15% off discount.
Yeah,
huge, actually.
You get 15% off, and I think we get like $2 or something. So that's great if you want to support us and you have a beard, which I'm pretty sure is our demographic, go ahead and hook yourself up with a can of beard balm, and it helps us out too. So, awesome.
Yeah, thank Ernie you. And I grew out our beards for this this show. As you can see, it's taken about 2 months, and Ernie is cleaner than a baby.
This is like 2 weeks, man.
I haven't shaved
in 2 weeks.
Mine's like little less than a week. I got something.
This is about an hour and a half.
Got a Robin Williams over here.
Yeah, all I have to do is flex, and I grow a beard. It's ridiculous. But yeah, that being said, I can grow this beard, but to keep it as soft, supple, and together, and to eliminate the perception of loose beard hair, if I just throw a little beard balm in that, I'm good to go, baby. Right after the shower, reapply it whenever you want to smell nice smelling stuff, and rock on. But yeah, they make a lot of different scents. The one I just described is Gentleman's Scent. They also have like a Lumberjack Scent, which smells remarkably awesome. I got that one in my desk at work. It doesn't smell exactly like a clean bathroom, but you know, hey. It smells
like a dirty bathroom.
Smells like a woodsy bathroom. But no, it smells great. And so I have that one at work. So that's my courtroom beard smell.
And you know, off the record, if you can't grow a beard, I'm sure it works great on your pubes.
Or yeah, it does. A gentleman's pube balm. My pubes smell super. But ask Ernie. He's been down there.
Oh.
What? What the hell? I just said that because he had his mic muted. And so it took him way too long to react and added legitimacy to it.
It's okay. I can mute his response so it just sounds like he's just like,
I can see his face too. It was like,
he's still like,
what? He's like, wait, no, I have to reply to this immediately. And then he's replying, but his headset's mic'd. Yeah. Oh, great. Anyway, yeah, no, this stuff's great, man. And, you know, I think it's about $15 a can, and it'll last forever. I've been using this one pretty solidly for the last 2 weeks, and I barely made a dent in it. So, stuff lasts forever, smells great. You know, I haven't broken out in a rash or hives or anything, so that's good, too. And it's pretty awesome. Like, I have to say, I don't think I would promote it if I didn't like it, which is why I requested them to send me a can first, and I have to say it's pretty cool. Like, I'll buy more.
Awesome. So yeah, just again, Gentleman's Beard Balm and the promo code Lola for 15% off. And you know, like I talked to Centrifuge. Was it Centrifuge? No. Why did I think it? Hold on. I talked to Jason Madzelli, you know, and he was like, oh, I wish I could donate Patreon, blah, 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 but my wife will kill me. Well, now you can help by buying beard balm. You sound like a big hairy man just from your emails.
Yeah, totally.
You probably have, you know, just ton of hair growing out all over you. You can use this beard balm and make your wife happy and make us happy.
What direction are we going to for this, guys? Holy crap. We have fastly faded into Lola After Dark territory. We're just making crazy wild guesses about our viewers, and I love it. So yeah, write in, let us know if you're hairy as hell, and if you are,
send us pictures.
What?
Ernie,
what?
Pictures.
What the heck? Oh my god, damn.
All right, now that we're done with business, we're going to the business god. That everyone else was expecting to run into today. Let's save the iTunes for the end of the podcast. You want to start with the 60-second tip, Blake?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So this week's 60-second tip, boom, it's about Ziggs. Don't forget about your passive with Ziggs. Early on, it can do more damage than your Q, and it can't be dodged. Think of this like Caitlyn's headshot. You want to be using this on your enemies at every time it's up, so really watch that countdown timer. Zig's satchel charge sends you further the closer you are to the middle of the C4. It can jump through the largest walls in Summoner's Rift if used correctly. With full build and max level, about half the bombs from your E can deal a lot more damage than your Q. Don't forget, it's not just for utility, it's for damage as well. Your ultimate circle area gets invisible to the enemy team if you throw the center, i.e. the middle of the skull, on an unwarded brush. In this way, it works like a Kali's Shroud or Nunu's ultimate. Your enemies can't see it to get out of the range of it. you can use your enemy minions to land your Q on the enemy champion in lane. Your enemy champion will then react to this and step away from your minion wave if they have a brain. This is great because it makes them more easily ganked and lets you lane a little bit safer. That's Ziggs, guys.
Ziggs. Ziggy Azalea. All right, cool.
Oh my god.
What the hell?
Sam is just really trying to make up for the fact that he wasn't here last week.
Apparently,
he's bringing it hard.
I'm trying to show you what good puns are, not sucky ones are.
Nice.
You just got to dust the mic off, you know. All right. So, thanks for that.
You see what he brings to the podcast? We missed this.
Hey, Blake, do you think with the new patch, do you think Ziggs is going to be a relevant mid laner now?
Dude, I have no idea. The new patch has got so many new item changes that I think everything's going to be remarkably different.
Mm-hmm.
Mid lane's going to be a huge shakeup. I think you're going to see... I think Cassiopeia is going to be ridiculous. Like, way more ridiculous than she ever was before. Because she basically benefits from literally every item change that hit.
I see.
So I think she's going to be a big one. I think Brand, if he's not too inconsistent to be played, is going to benefit pretty heavily from all these changes. I think Malzahar is going to take a big boon to all these changes. And pretty much Zyra, any champion that builds Rylai's and Leandre's together is going to take a big bonus to playability from these changes.
All right, so jumping into patch 5.13, we're going to first start off with the small stuff before we get to the AP itemization stuff. So first thing, a general just gameplay change, slow stacking. It's the strongest slow that is... the strongest slow is now applied. Like, instead of it being additive or multiplicative or whatever way they formulate it, just whatever slow is the strongest, that is a slow that sticks. I thought this was really important to bring up. I don't know. This also has to do with that mastery point change too. Swiftness? Is that what it is? What is it called?
It's swiftness, I think.
Swiftness? All right, yeah. But I don't know. I don't think there's any more thing much more to say about that except just.
I do want to say one thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
Rylai's, don't build it with champions that already have slows. It won't do anything for you now.
That's interesting.
Even like Sejuani, don't build it on her because she's already got slows in her kit. And unless the slow of Rylai is greater than the slow from Sejuani's kit, it does nothing now. It provides you no additional utility. Even then, with the way slow stacking used to work, you shouldn't have been building it on her anyway. But anybody who had thought that was a good idea before, it's definitely not a good idea now.
Sure. Makes sense. All right, so moving on from that, we got champion changes. Tom Kench. Is it Tom Kench?
Tom Kench.
Will be released this patch. Who knows when? 5 minutes after the patch is released, 5 days after. Who knows?
It'll be like 5 minutes. They never wait that long on champions.
Well, I mean, they already delayed this patch a little bit, so who knows what's happened.
Like, I'm predicting before noon tomorrow, like, noon at latest in California time. What is that? West Coast?
Just West Coast.
West Coast time. By noon.
All right.
At latest.
So that you heard it here first.
You can tell that Ernie does not listen to rap music.
No.
What coast is that? If there were only a genre of music that told me this every 5 seconds.
That's funny. All right, so but yeah, Tom Kench, big catfish guy with the top hat, will be released. We'll break him down later. The other relevant champion changes. There's a lot of champion changes. A lot of them very small. A lot of them are just bug fixes. A lot of them are just, you know, small tweaks in numbers that we really like. This patch, those items are huge. So we just want to get the important champion ones out there to you guys. So the first one that we have for that is Kayle. Her E, Righteous Fury, passively gains half of its active magic damage on basic attacks. E's AP ratio was slightly increased as well. You think she's going to be back?
I don't know, man. It's an interesting deal.
I think.
Ernie, what are your thoughts? I want to hear you.
I think Kale was back before, just people overlooked like her buffs prior to. Like she had so many good buffs prior to that people just kind of overlooked. Like her E got a damage buff, like was it a few patches ago, if I'm not mistaken. And I think people just overlooked it, and this just makes it even more like, oh, Kale's strong. Continue to play.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think Riot does a good explanation of how, like, in the meta, it's kind of like huge burst or long sustained fights, and Kale, and that's why the Kale's ult isn't as effective. But I think Kale does really, really good, like, sustained damage. Yeah. And buffing her E, which is her sustained damage, is scary. In addition to, again, all these itemization changes. And, I mean, she can be played any position, and she can kind of be played well with all these, with these changes.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, so a while back, the rune on Turkin got buffed, and Kale basically got a buff from that. Extra 10 damage on two other targets or whatever, right? Or the initial target, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, like, she's been getting buffs across the board, like, just tiny bits at a time, but this makes it even more. Like, she's just gonna,
well,
do a lot more damage.
The other thing that I want to talk about with that is you've got to also look at the Gnasher's Tooth change.
Yeah.
Because that is an absolutely core item on Kale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about to get more AP but less attack speed.
Yeah.
Which I would almost say is a nerf for Kale. Mm-hmm. I haven't done the math on it. But the attack speed is what's big for her, because she already gets a shitload of damage from her E. And you want to just be hitting as fast as you can. I don't think the additional 30 damage is going to make up for the value of even one lost attack.
I think,
in terms of the scale,
we're going towards the Gnasher's Tooth build though. But I think the reduction in 10% is an okay nerf, I guess, for the trade of AP, because they did increase the AP ratio, and not only the fact that you're going to get Gnasher's Tooth, but you should somewhat try to find a spot in your build to also build that Hurricane too, which is also gonna make up for that loss of attack speed. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so yeah. I think this is gonna be pretty big for Kale.
Yeah, it's a small like numbers game, and unless we math craft it out, we can only guess. But for the most part, I think, you know, Kale is strong. She got a little her kit got a little stronger. The itemization, I mean, not only is that Gnasher's Tooth changing, everything else that she might build is changing too, like just getting a death cap will change. So we'll see how those work out, but play Kale, especially because she's so flexibly played, like
jungle,
top, jungle, mid.
Sometimes support.
Don't play her.
No, don't play her support. Don't play Kale.
No, we don't want to see that.
Kale's a champion for a-holes. And, you know, much like Shaco, the opposite of Kale, you're kind of an ass if you play her either way.
I used to play Kale a lot.
You also used
to play imagine Shaco, that!
Which proves my point. Exactly.
I used to play her like...
Am I an asshole if? Yes, you are. You are an asshole. I hate that damn champion with her broken, stupid ultimate mechanic. But anyway, yeah, don't do it. Don't be a dick.
Play Kale.
Pay it forward. Be a friend.
Just make sure that Blake's not on the other team and be like, just lol Nexus, Blake's not on the other team. All right.
All right. Yeah, we can play Kale, yeah.
Even though that doesn't work.
But, I'll just tell you this. In the movie Pay It Forward, I never saw anybody play Kale in that movie.
Oh, true story. There you go. You heard it here first.
Just saying. I think it would be a much sadder movie if the opposite had happened. I
think that beard bomb has made you smarter, man.
Beard bomb has made me more compassionate towards mankind, which is why I'm spreading my message of love and clean bathrooms.
Do you know what isn't mankind? Rek'Sai, because she's a woman.
And a lizard creature.
A void monster.
I mean, for the more obvious comparison, she's also a land shark. So, you know, mm-hmm. also not Mankind.
So anyway, about Rek'Sai, small change to her W, which is her unburrow. The knockup radius is lowered. It's a little bit, but it's enough. I mean, I definitely noticed when Gragas's hitbox changed, or his body slam hitbox changed. A similar kind of change to Rek'Sai. I read somewhere on Reddit that her auto attack range now is funky with this unburrow, because usually people would auto attack and that would just proc the unburrow, but you can actually miss that if you auto attack to unburrow. Yeah,
there's supposedly like a difference of, I don't play Rek'Sai, so I wouldn't be able to tell you, but based on the math, there's like a 25 unit difference in your auto attack range and your unburrow range now. So without looking at the numbers, it'd be like if your knockup range is 150 and your auto attack range is 175, there's the potential that you pop out and then an auto attack, but completely whiff the knockup.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that that's going to be adjusted for, you know, because it used to be something like 200 units and now it's 150, mm-hmm. I think. Is that right?
160. It's 160.
200 to 160.
Okay, 40 units. But his auto attack range is 175, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Something like that.
So yeah, there's like basically a wonky little edge case where you'll auto attack and not knock someone up.
So yeah, you have to be careful.
Yeah, so be careful, and the answer to it was just reactivate the W.
Yeah, you gotta click past them and reactivate it instead of auto attacking to unburrow. I think it's going to screw up a lot of people's ganking, actually. Like, when you're just going after that single target, it's going to hurt. Just, again, like I said with Gragas, the hitbox change is going to hurt her, too. But, yeah, what's the opposite of quality of life or quality of life nerf? kind of, it's
the reliability nerf is what it is.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's just sucky.
Way, way too reliable before. Yeah, you know, it's mm-hmm. like whenever they make, like when they made LeBlanc's chain thinner.
Yep.
It just makes it a little harder to do what you're supposed to do.
The Jarvan's EQ combo nerf was enough to put him out to a competitive play like a year ago or whatever. So this might hurt her a lot. And we'll I'm very curious at what Riot's going to do with the inconsistency or the reliability part of it. Rather than like not being skilled.
That's the thing, is like they needed to do something to hurt Rek'Sai. Because S tier jungler, right? But yet I don't see any Gragas changes. But anyway, you needed to do something to Rek'Sai to knock him out of that S tier.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that a nerf was required. I just don't. I don't like nerfs that like hit the ability of the champion to execute. That seems like a bad nerf.
Well, I don't mind it if it makes it like more skillful. Like the Jive and EQ combo. Like I miss that now. Before, it was so easy to hit as a bad Jarvan player. Like, I was okay with that nerf because it's like, oh, I can actually, as a person that's not playing Jarvan, I can dodge it. And a person that is playing Jarvan is like, you have to actually be good to play him well.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. And what I would say about Jarvan is a very good example. I'm on the other end of that. I didn't really like the Jarvan change either.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, thematically, you're hitting somebody with your whole damn body, and he's a big champion, right? Sure. Thematically, Rek'Sai is a fucking land shark that's popping out of the ground and displacing a whole bunch of earth. It makes no sense to make that a very, very tiny area, right?
Mm.
But I don't think that, rather than making the combo extremely difficult to hit, it would be better to make it hurt less than, or, you know, do less if you do hit it. Like, make the payout less. Don't sure. make the ability of the kit less feasible. Because that's only frustrating to play with.
Okay. I mean,
you see what I'm saying?
If the change is like really like her graphic doesn't match up with, if it doesn't match, like the hitboxes don't match up with what it looks like, I totally agree with you. I don't mind it getting harder to hit. But yeah, you're right. Maybe they could have instead just reduced the knockup time or something like that. Or the stun time. I mean, don't know how it works.
Like I said, it just seems to me like this is like the easy nerf. Like, okay, we just want to make her more reliable and more difficult. Yeah, mm-hmm. let's do that, right? If that's the case, there's so many other things that you can do to that champion to make him have that. Yeah. Right? It doesn't make sense, particularly like with Jarvan and Rek'Sai. Like, once you pop out, that's like kick critical to being able to get off all your other crap.
Because
you have to have that knockup to execute anything. So if you unburrow and miss, you're fucked. It's just like if you Jarvan and you EQ in and you miss, you're fucked. Like, oh, I just whiffed my whole burst and displaced myself into your team. Shit. Yeah. You know, it's already high risk reward. I feel like it should pay out. So
no, yeah, I think I don't think that's gonna actually lower her play rate in LCS, but it might lower her win rate.
Not I mean, exactly I sure. I could see it lowering the play rate in the LCS, and the reason I could is, I mean, apparently it's fucking impossible to hit a Sidge 1 ult. So yeah. If you can't do that, let's make this a much smaller circle and see what happens. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Like, the LCS moves to the S tier on everything. And if the S tier is somebody other than Rek'Sai, they're going to take that. You're going to see Gragas spike until they nerf him.
Again. So,
yeah, again, until they nerf him. Because I mean, all the nerfs they've done haven't really touched his viability.
Sure. All right. Well, actually, has his like health regen changes gone on to the LCS stage yet?
I think it's
isn't it like would it be one, this week?
Is it yeah? Isn't it like a 1 week cycle or something? Or
might
is it
be something like weeks? That.
I think it's a 1 week cycle for normal changes. So it's not like the patch hits Wednesday and you have to adjust for it by tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't do that, but. And then I think it's like 2 weeks for champions or something like that. They just changed that this season, actually.
Yeah, I don't remember. I feel like I should know that. But anyway.
I feel like I should too.
That's Rek'Sai. The last one I have is champion, unless you guys have something else, is actually Singed. He now has MR per level, which is always huge on anyone because a lot of champions don't actually get magic resist per level. In addition to that, his EE, his fling, root duration is increased when flinging into the mega adhesive, his W, little goo pile. And the most important change is now he laughs whenever he flings an enemy. That one's amazing. So it's easier to spam it when you're not, you don't have to press laugh anymore. But, I don't know if this will make him played. Solo queue, maybe. I think he's just such a different play pattern. Well, actually, Ernie, okay, why are you shaking your head? No, Ernie.
There's only going to be one person ever going to play this in competitive play, and that is, who is it? Korean top laner on SKT.
It was Impact, but not
whatever his name is. Or wait,
that guy.
Not
the guy
on
known
SKT.
For a cinch play.
It was the guy on Samsung White.
White.
That guy.
I don't remember his name.
Can't remember his name either.
But that guy. the one Korean guy on the Korean team.
Looper?
Yeah, that guy.
Is it Looper? Oh, yeah, it is Looper. He was the old mid laner, then he
He's
sucked
the guy that
ass.
Got the skin
yep.
of Singed for his team.
Yep. That
for
guy.
Winning. Yeah, that's Looper, I think.
That guy. Well, who knows with all these, Rylai's buff.
Dyrus used to play a shitload of Singed.
Yeah, we haven't seen that since like season 2. He was the Singed guy because he played in Hawaii. His ping was like 200, so he played the easiest champion, Singed, for that kind of environment. He's really smart. I don't know, especially with the whole like split push changes or helping split pushers, and a good Singed player is absolutely obnoxious. I think he is doable in solo queue if you know how to proxy or if you just know how to lane him well.
And keep in mind, Singed does get a benefit from Rylai's and Leandre's. So he's going to be bigger with this patch, and he's getting magic resist like increased and magic resist growth, which he never got before.
Yep.
So that's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like he's going to be annoying very soon. He's been annoying for the longest time, but
Thank God no one has figured that out because no one's playing him.
What's the difference? No shit, right?
150? I'm trying to do really quick. No, okay. Raw actually does not benefit him as much anymore. Health-wise, I mean.
I see. All right, well, we'll get into that soon. We got, so that's all the champion changes I have to talk about. There, like I said, there's some good ones, but they're pretty small, and we got a lot of stuff, more important stuff to cover. So with items, enchantment, Devourer. So this is the one that no one gets. It's the purple one. Basically, no longer scales infinitely. Now gains stacks on takedowns, and takedowns are defined as kills and assists instead of just kills now. Or it used to be just kills. Now it's takedowns, which is kills and assists. So now gains stacks on takedowns and eventually transforms. So what happens is that if you kill a large monster, which is any just the big monster at a camp, jungle camp, it gives you one stack per takedown. An epic monster, which is dragon and baron, gives you 5 stacks. Champions now give you 1 instead of 2 that it used to. And then the Rift Scholar gives you 2 stacks as well. So when I say transforms, oh, more importantly, you get a ghost dog that runs around with you now. Just this little dog that's next to you. I think it's like purple or something.
Purple dog.
Yeah, so at 30 stacks, this item transforms into a Sated Devourer, and the dog merges with the player. So what this does is that basic attack triggers on hit damage twice, every 2 attacks, right?
Every two attacks. So any lifesteal, if you have 10% lifesteal, that triggers 20% lifesteal. Any, the Bork's current health damage passive,
mm-hmm,
that triggers twice.
Every 2 hits.
Every 2 attacks.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then, let's see. The on-hit magic damage was increased from 25 to 30.
So, if any jungler buys this item, they merge with this dog that's following them? Is that what I'm understanding?
After you get 30 stacks, you merge with the dog.
Right. So, would you say that any jungler possessing a Sated Devourer is into bestiality?
I'm glad you went that way. I thought you were going to go with the race, the Korean thing.
No. Usually Koreans only merge with dogs at dinner time. Your joke, not mine. You said it.
You took it.
It was bait. You baited me into being racist. Well done.
As a jungler, I'm super excited about this. I'm also really scared. Like, I'm okay not seeing Master Yi jungle. I'm okay with that. Like, that guy is terrifying when, like, Feral Flare was, like, the huge thing. Blake said this earlier. On paper, it sounds pretty good. That's a lot of damage. I think Riot acknowledges that it's a lot of damage on certain people, like people that have on-hit stuff, like Master Yi.
I really am scared of Fizz. I'm really scared of Fizz, actually. Because the way that this is built, you could build this item, a Bork, and then full tank.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have stupid nasty damage and be able to stick to anybody and never die.
Yeah.
Because if every other attack you're applying double Fizz passive, double Bork, because, I mean, keep in mind, every 2 attacks is 3 stacks of whatever thing that you're doing, right? Because it's first attack plus second attack plus dog attack.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 3 stacks of Bork, 3 stacks of Fizz passive, and a sick amount of attack speed to do all that with.
Yep.
And with Bork, like a 15% health, max health nuke with the active effect.
Mm-hmm.
And with Fizz's ultimate, a 20% damage increase on all that.
That's a lot of damage. It's like, I just need 3 hits to kill you.
I mean, seriously, though, like, that's a shitload of percent health.
And you can't hold him down either.
I mean, maybe Shyvana might also be scary. because she has all the on-hit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the double attacks, Yi is obviously going to be terrifying.
Kale.
Yeah.
Kale jungle.
Because he is, Kale. I mean, there are so many attack speed-based junglers that are just going to rip the crap out of this. The only thing I wonder is, what does this do to the Runeglaive junglers that were supposed to be using magics and auto attacks to proc the Runeglaive?
I mean, I was like, Kale, Runeglaive, awesome. Kale, Devourer, awesome. Which one is better?
Which one's better? I would think that this would be better in virtually every regard.
I'm guessing there's a few that... My assumption is that obviously, Devourer is better for auto attackers versus Runeglaive is good for magic dealers. Magic dealers, some of them can be good auto attackers, like Diana, but you'd still get Runeglaive on those that are more bursty, that are going to get in an auto attack, but not necessarily like five auto attacks or whatever.
I would think you would get Runeglaive on Diana.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you need this much attack speed on Diana.
By the way, I also think Runeglaive is overrated for Elise.
Overrated?
Overrated. I played a few games. I don't feel like it meaningfully increases your damage. And the other thing is, I don't know that she still feels like she doesn't do much in the in-game besides being a cocoon bot.
Really?
I used to play a lot of Elise before this, and I've played some since the changes. And I'm talking about, in particular, Runeglaive.
Yeah, I've
feels crappy I've on her.
Quite a few games as Runeglaive Elise, and I loved it. I don't know.
You don't think Cinderhulk is better?
No, I really like the Runeglaive. I mean, whenever I have done anything with Runeglaive, it's Runeglaive, Ludens, and then tank. Unless I'm playing Ezreal mid, but that's what I've been doing for the most part. Just Runeglaive and Ludens, and then you go full tank. And I felt like I did quite a bit of damage, actually. I wasn't here for that patch notes, but the increased damage of the Elise changes, I guess. So,
With Elise, the traditional build is more magic penetration to capitalize on the percent health damage rather than big numbers of AP.
Yeah.
Because the scaling's not that good on the percentages, but the AP doesn't really help you that much. But the penetration does help you reach that full value of percentages.
I don't know.
There's multiple ways, or maybe not multiple, but there's a few ways to play Elise, and it sounds like the whole cocoon bot playstyle is you are a tank, you're cocooning, you're kind of a frontline, just trying to peel off and do the damage you can. Versus Runeglaive, I feel like it's, hey, now I have the option on trying to actually assassinate the back line.
I mean, I think you had that option either way, because you basically wait till somebody gets low enough, and then you repel to them and kill them.
But could you do that as a full tank Elise?
It's percent health damage. You have to just wait for your opportunity and then go.
I don't think you could 100 to 0 on an AD carry.
Not 100 to 0, no. I was saying you wait and then die.
Oh, gotcha. Sure. Sure, yeah, right. You have the opportunity to just stop peeling and go for it. Right. Kind of thing. Gotcha. Okay. Well, so anyway, Devourer, you guys think, it looks good? Looks good.
I think it looks awesome. I think it looks almost too good. Yeah,
it's going to be too oppressive. You're going. So, I watched. I watched Kauset play on the PBE when this was.
Oh God!
He literally went two attack damage items. He went this and Bork, and then went full tank Master Yi, and he literally two shot everybody.
Yeah, why do you need more damage?
No,
because this is working.
Well, not literally two shot, but he sat there for like 2 seconds just auto attacking people and they died instantly because not only do you get that Bork passive twice, Master Yi also has his passive where he does the double strike every 4 attacks. That gets applied twice, so he gets in one hit. If it's the same attack, mm-hmm. he gets 4 hits in one single attack.
Oh, Ernie, your internet's dying.
Yeah, my internet's probably dying.
Ernie's saying that like this.
Well, since your audacity picked that up, I'll believe you.
So,
I agree with what I didn't hear.
Like, potentially, Master Yi can get his true damage and then, like, 4 attacks in one attack because of his passive.
Yeah.
And so...
Oh, yeah.
That's just a huge damage burst, like, at that. And so...
Yeah, why would you need to go one more attack damage item when you can, like you said, sit there and kill someone in like 2 seconds? And you can live through it and continue to kill people because you have Randuin's or, like, I wouldn't think Warmogs, but Warmogs or any like huge defensive item. Like, you have all the damage you need to be scary as hell and survive everything. It's terrifying. And, unlike Bork, Devourer...
You're also doing 4 hits with, you know, like a 8% current health per hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oops, goddamn. It's 32% health.
Yeah, it's a lot of damage. And internet problems are awesome.
Oh god,
you guys are horrible. Alright, so just
both
some...
of us or just him?
You now.
Your camera stopped.
So, Devourer looks awesome. It is strong, and start playing Devourer junglers. Especially if you already know how to play him. They play even Xin Zhao. Xin Zhao's not the greatest user of this, but like Xin Zhao before Devourer was even using the old Devourer, if you build that and like a Black Cleaver or a Bork and went full tank, he was strong. They nerfed him a little bit to help, but it doesn't matter. So play it. The Runeglaive got a little change. Its AP was increased, its AD ratio increased, and there's some bug fixes. I think the bug fixes actually make a huge difference on AP Ezreal, right?
Well, yeah. Here's the problem with AP Ezreal is that with Runeglaive, you were able to use your Q to proc the Runeglaive, which would then convert it into magic damage, and then proc your Ludens.
Okay.
So with AP Ezreal, your Q became another magic damage skill shot that was on no cooldown that also proc Ludens.
Yep.
Yeah. So it just increases damage a lot more than necessary.
It should have. Okay. Right. So by taking out the, oh, by the way, this item procs Ludens, you're going to see a couple of those abuse cases fade out of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So your AP Gangplank with Runeglaive, gone. AP Ezreal, probably hurt, but not gone because his ratios are still crazy. Because
his ult kills you and just ruins like the objective that you're trying to take.
Right. I mean, that's the deal. Is I think everybody figured out how strong AP Ezreal can be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he's gone, but Runeglaive did make him a lot better.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know what you're going to see with AP Ezreal or if he's going to fade out completely. But Runeglaive definitely made him an abuse case.
Yeah.
For sure.
And again, this is going to help jungle clears for what it was intended for, the jungle. It's going to help AP junglers, and they're also, you know, auto-attacking and their clear speeds
a
lot.
I'd say certain AP junglers. And now it's a smaller amount because of, you know, Sated Devourer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Brad and Luke and I talked about this last week when we said, you need to be careful not to just say AP junglers because, you know, core AP junglers that don't auto-attack, like Fiddlesticks, are actually really hurt by the Runeglaive.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, the Magus enchant. They used to get a lot out of that.
Yep. Good point. Okay, so moving on from Runeglaive, Righteous Glory, the health was reduced to 500 instead of 600. And the cooldown was increased to 90 seconds. This hurts. Still, I mean, it's still good if you need it, kind of thing.
I think that this had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Spirit Visage would give you is a shitload of tankiness, a shitload of utility for your whole
right,
team.
You mean Righteous Glory?
What'd I say?
Spirit Visage.
Ha!
You jumped the gun.
Jumped the gun. Righteous Glory. What Righteous Glory would give you is a shit ton of hit points, a shit ton of team utility, and no significant drawback to building the item. Like, and the other thing is, it occupied the field that Ancient Coin Line was meant to occupy. So I could build a tanky support item and build this and have both the effects of a shield and the effect of what you'd look for out of the Talisman of Ascension.
Yeah.
That seemed broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it seemed broken because it kind of was by comparison. Right? The only meaningful difference between this and the Talisman is the Talisman gave you move speed in any direction, and this gave you engagement move speed. Well, most of the time you're using the Talisman to engage anyway, so there's not a huge difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure, fair enough. All right, cool. Spirit Visage, this one's a big one. Healing bonus changed from 20% self-healing, and it was changed to 20% to all healing. So that means incoming heals and your heals.
It's a huge buff.
This one is, I mean, first note, and Riot pointed out, Soraka.
Soraka.
Like,
if you have a good healer that builds this, and then another person that, anyone that's building MR anyway that needs Spirit Visage, build this, you increase, your heals are so much more effective now. Let alone just like, using this on anyone that doesn't have Spirit Visage, like a heal. Like, it's great. Holy crap. Yeah, and potions. Potions, yep. Too.
So, I think this the biggest thing here is Haric, Soraka, Alistar.
So you think? So you mean Gambit would maybe finally win a game with Haric?
Didn't? Wait.
Did they win a game? They might have won a game. I'm not actually sure.
They won their first game with Taric and lost their second.
Everyone I watched, they lost, but I'm actually not sure.
You're coming back! I hope. I have forgiven, and he's sucked for points this year.
Anyway, this is going to be an outrageous change.
Nice. I got it.
Truly
outrageous. I got what you did there. Truly, truly
outrageous. I mean... Was this? Do you guys think this was needed? I mean, Spirit Visage was good.
No,
it was good already, right?
Kind of just reverting back to what it was before, to be honest. This.
Hey.
But that's the thing, is like, there was a meaningful trade-off between this and Banshee's Veil. There's times that you would absolutely want Banshee's Veil, and times you would absolutely want this. And, you know, like, this was Banshee's Veil with CDR. And mm-hmm. Banshee's Veil was same defensive stats with Spell Shield, basically. And, yeah, generally Banshee's was better unless you really needed the CDR, and most tanks did, or the ones that benefited from self-healing would always take this. And so it had its own niche spot. This, I think, really makes it... I don't want to say it's like better than Banshee's Veil, but it's extremely more competitive, and on certain champions, it's ungodly better than Banshee's Veil now.
So, this includes lifesteal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, I think, if I have a life, if I have Bloodthirster, or, like, a Bork, or, like, someone with good, like, an AD carry that needs a defensive item, and it's because that stupid AP, like, LeBlanc is hitting me, or whatever, like, Spirit Visage is something that I actually, like, I want to get a defensive item as an AD carry instead of like, oh, should I get that second Phantom Dancer or should I get that Hex Drinker? Like, I think I really want to get this like as a fifth item if against a certain team comp.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Keep in mind, it's 20% all healing,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you're getting it for lifesteal, and let's say you build a Bloodthirster, That's only a 5% increase.
4%?
Oh, yeah. Shit. Bad math. 4%. So that's half of what you would get from building a vamp scepter. It's only a 400 gold thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's sure, not, sure, like, absolutely huge for ADCs. But if you had, like, let's say you're a champion that built double lifesteal, like a Bork plus Bloodthirster,
mm-hmm,
which is something that Callista can get away with.
Oh, great.
And then you build this item,
uh-huh,
then it's actually you're getting into more meaningful, you know, changes to your lifesteal. Like, yeah, that could be actually really nasty.
But then also, people that heal you, too. If you
had, like, a Soraka or somebody on your team, then it becomes an extra benefit, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the percentage... And plus, that was the case before, was the self-healing. Now it's just, like, it has the potential to extra scale if you have healers. Mm. But I could see somebody like Fnatic, whenever they did their ridiculous heal comp at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. You remember that? Or maybe it was at the end of last season. I don't remember. They did a heal comp where they had, like, Nidalee, Kayle's, you know, like, all these different healing champions. Mm-hmm. And you just couldn't beat them in a team fight because everybody would just heal out your damage.
We should try that. We should do all heal comp with all, like, heal and Spirit Visage.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, dude, Painless Death, by the way, beloved former guest of our show, tweeted out the other day that he's going to run Soraka with this and Warmogs and never lose a game. He's like, he's going to be OP as shit. Don't tell anybody. And I told everybody. Sorry, Painless.
Yeah, everyone. Everyone knows now.
Everybody should know. To be fair, he did tweet it, though.
So. Don't tell anyone. Tweet.
Don't tell anyone. I'm going to tweet this to the public.
That's funny. All right, so that's a scary item. Very simple change. Very big, big change. Now for... Unfortunately, I thought we'd get here sooner, time-wise. But AP itemization. Lots of change. Basically, all your needless and large rods and all... Basically, all your core, any AP item. Any AP item. Basically, has changed. Let me go through it real quick. How should we... Okay, let's do it this way. So, first, needlessly large rod. The cost and AP was lowered. So, now it's easier to get. But to compensate for that, they also lowered the AP ratio. Or the AP that you get from it. So, with that, it carries on into all the AP items... Or, all the needlessly large rods items that we are familiar with. Which means... Rabadon's Death Cap, Zhonya's Hourglass, and Luna's Echo. So those three changes were Rabadon's Death Cap, the cost was increased, Amp Tone was added into the recipe to make it an easier build. AP, the flat AP you get from it stays the same, but the AP bonus was increased. All right. Zhonya's Hourglass, the cost and AP are down. It's cheaper, but so you can get it sooner, but the AP rate, AP you get from it is also lowered. Luden's Echo, the cost and AP, again, are down, but you have an increased movement speed. So they're just pushing this item to be more spell and mobility mage focused. All right. Do we want to talk about those three real quick?
No, I mean, I think you kind of nailed it. Like, this just further defines Death Cap as the I want a lot of AP item.
Damage.
Yes.
The damage item, like what should be used as the damage item.
It's just the brute force damage.
I would say they're all damage.
I mean, like,
items.
Okay, like, so here's the category.
But I mean, it's the raw damage item.
Yeah.
You know, the, like, I've been lifting weights for 2 days and I want to punch somebody item.
It's going to knock them out in one hit kind of item.
Yeah.
Yep.
I went to GNC and bought supplements and now I want to fight. That kind of item.
Yeah. Also, the big thing is the whole, like, the cost reduction for the needlessly large rod is super big because getting back, like, as an AD carry, getting back with a BF sword was hard. Mid lane, it was hard too. At least for me. I'm not the best last hitter, as Ernie knows when he lanes with me. but yeah, this is gonna change. I really feel like this might change the pace of the game. It really might mean different dragon when people fight dragons, those kind of things. You get your Zhonya's and Ludens sooner. That means you hit your power spike sooner. That means a fight happens sooner. At least in the LCS, definitely, when these guys are thinking about these kind of things. Because it's, what was the cost? Like
1250 for Needless. I forget. No.
1350?
Used to be 1600.
Sure. So that's a lot of gold. That's a kill. That's
I can't count the number of times in bot lane that I've had 1200 gold and been like, well, I guess I'll go back and buy a Sheen instead of a BF sword.
Or a pickaxe. Or yeah. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't count the number of times that's been different. But I mean, what I'm wondering is, this is all great and everything. I agree with the deal that your power spike is too hard to hit at that price.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the price reduction for the BF sword then?
Where's the AD reduction for the BF sword? Huh?
Fine. Reduce it in price.
Infinity Edge. Increase that crit damage. Crit percent damage. Bonus crit. That is coming patch 5.17. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway.
It makes this game even more mid lane focused, too.
See, that's the thing. Is like these items shifting in popularity and lowered in cost.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, let's talk for a second, because Cassiopeia is the biggest abuse case for like pretty much all these items.
Because she can build any of them.
Right. And well, particularly Deathcap.
Uh-huh.
Like the raw damage. Fact that it's easier to get there and gives you a shitload of damage, and it scales with her passive that also increases your percent damage.
Mm-hmm.
Will make it a lot easier. Like, it just makes it a lot easier for her to hit her big power spike.
Sure.
Yeah. And then not to mention the changes to Rylai's, which we should go over right now. What do you think?
Sure, let's do that. So I'll group the next few, actually. Rylai's Crystal Scepter. Cost was increased. Blasting Wand replaced with Needlessly Large Rod. Slow is now stronger, and it summons minions summon minions slow. Actually, let's just talk about Rylai's, because that's a lot to swallow.
Okay. This is one that the utility of this item increases a lot, but so does the damage, so does everything about it, right? It just got all around better.
Yes.
And the fact that it's all around better, it just, all those champions that used to build Rylai's as part of their core kit, amazingly better.
Mm-hmm.
So, in particular, champions that mostly build Rylai's would also build Liandry's, because the slow on Rylai's doubles the burn damage on Liandry's.
Mm-hmm.
So, champions like Brand, Zyra, Cassiopeia, any of the other ones that scaled with that kind of damage, that would deal tick damage, Swain even, but not so much Swain because he already had a slow. But, you know, those kind of champions that built both of those items together, my god, like what you could do with that was always painful. Now both of those items are much better, and better together. You're going to see a resurgence in champions that build those things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Like you said, it makes those that build it stronger, and now it opens it up for a lot of other mages, AP mid laners to come into the meta, or to be stronger, like, not well, forgotten.
And like I said, with Luden's Echo being less oppressive, because the AP is down on it, and yeah, the movement speed is cool, but it's more niche, right? With it being less oppressive in terms of damage, that gives Deathcap a clear niche and a clear value, and the champions that really benefit from Deathcap, since everybody's not getting the same power spike they would have gotten out of Luden's,
mm-hmm.
and we can build Deathcap now for a more defined power spike, that helps, like I said, Cassiopeia, who probably didn't buy Luden's. really helps her.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, Leandre's helps.
Oh, my gosh.
Rylai's helps. And she was already top tier.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be absolutely disgusting. You will see her a lot. The only downside to her is she is ungodly hard to play.
Yes, she is. She's not easy. All right, so moving on from Rylai's Archangel Staff. Cost and AP were actually increased. Needlessly large round replaces Blasting Wand. Ernie, do you have an opinion on this one?
Nope. It's good. It's good, man. It's 20 God AP more.
It's good.
And it costs more, though. Whoever is going to build tier is going to benefit from this, obviously.
Well, it makes a lot of the tier users better, though, because it does a lot more damage, and you get the stuff that you want from the tier.
I had more of an opinion on
the depth of your analysis, more of an
opinion
man.
On what is it, the Rylai's, because like now everything's being instead of having a range from like 50 AP to 120, everything's leveling out to like about 100 AP. And so, like, even the Archangel Staff or the Seraph Embrace, they're increasing the ability power by 20, so 60 to 80. But you also have to factor in that it also takes a percentage of your maximum mana and converts that to AP, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think Ernie kind of just told the story there. It's less about how much AP you get off these items and more about what these items do for your kit in terms of utility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be the defining choice between what you pick anymore, is what the passive effect or the active effect is.
Yeah.
And other than, like, how much AP I get.
And that's awesome because it's going to change. It really changes. Like, hopefully. I hope that this doesn't be like, okay. Obviously, Rylai's is now the best one, so it's everyone that has AoE to slow everyone, because the slow increase was ridiculous on AoE. You know, like, I hope it doesn't come in like that, but if this is all balanced right and gets fixed in the next, like, four patches or whatever, like, really fine-tuned, like, this means that you can see a lot of people. Like, we've seen Karthus, I think, a few times this season, maybe once or twice in the LCS. Like, people that have tier now, like, that item slot is, you get your mana pool, and you get more AP, and you have more damage. Just, you get everything, so now they're able to keep up with maybe the assassins that were super in, because they just had pure brute power to kill someone in 1 second. Now you have people that need a lot of mana to scale up, need a little bit of time, and become a beast in their own way. And yeah, all stemming from what Ernie said, it's not really about the AP anymore. It's about everything being on the same page and the utility that each one brings to whatever champion you want to put it on.
I mean,
So with that,
I mean, like, oh, yeah, I think this, like, all these AP item changes brings up a huge point of Ryze. Ryze didn't get touched here, but like Ryze with Rylai's. All APs, Rise Lies. No, the AoE proc on his ultimate, and then just spamming people, he's gonna be able to machine gun people again.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, how are you gonna get away from a snare, then into a slow, into another snare, into another slow, into another snare?
Oh, doesn't he have a speed boost too on his ult? yeah, it's funny because they made the changes to make sure that Ryze cannot exactly permaroot you as early, but now it's, you're basically permaroot you because you're slowed.
And it's gonna make you have to use Flash away from him or next to him.
Yeah, it's interesting because as many champion changes they made this patch, I don't think they did many as, because of these item changes that are going through, we are toning down X, Y, and Z. Like Umumu. Umumu in the jungle is going to be disgusting, I think. And they didn't touch him. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of levers have been pulled by Riot. It's gonna change a lot. But anyway,
I mean, whenever you say a lot of levers have been pulled, I imagine that like a secret agent's car just drove into the ocean and is now a submarine. That's the amount of levers that we're talking about being pulled. You know, it's now just a completely different thing.
Sure, yeah. All right, so Rod of Ages. Cost reduced, less base health and mana, but gains more AP and mana over time. So Rod of Ages keeps its identity.
Hey, skills. You know what, guys?
I like this.
After
a lot.
10 minutes of having Rod of Ages, you have 100 AP.
Hey! Ernie was actually smiling, guys, if you didn't realize that.
Whoa. Do we have that on the VOD? Has anybody got the... Can we take a screen cap just so I can tweet?
It actually Ernie blacked out for the second that he smiled. Yeah. No,
but I think this item... Although I do like the AP growth and the mana growth, I don't think that the champions that normally built it are going to benefit from it as much now. Because, I mean, I generally use this item for the health gain for the most part. Mm-hmm. But now you have 150 health less in exchange for 150 mana more. And maybe 60 AP.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing is, like, this item was always the comparable item to Archangel's Staff.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you wouldn't get Archangel's Staff at this point. Because, like, yes, you still have that ramp-up time with Archangel's Staff where you're going to have to, you know, like, stack it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have a ramp-up time with Rod of Ages, too. Yeah, you get more mana, but you're going to get more mana out of the Archangel Staff and a shield that would potentially cover a lot of the health that you're going to get if you remember to activate it.
Good point. You know? Remember.
So, and it's like once you get the power spike, you get it all at once versus having to sit on a Rod of Ages as it gradually develops. You can mm-hmm. sit on a tier and not really kill yourself for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha.
You know what I mean? I think that the Rod of Ages reducing the health, I think Ernie's right. It hurts the identity of the item. But at the same time, I thought the item was a little bit too good at 10 minutes.
Well, okay, this is the thing.
Like it made these mages so hard to kill.
I'm also thinking about this. With all these item changes, with the, you know, turret changes that they, I think turret HP went down to, and all, just all this kind of stuff. They're speeding up the game, so I think the Rod of Ages changes are also kind of making Rod of Ages relevant earlier because it has to keep up with the new pace of the game that Riot is expecting.
I don't think that's even true, though, because you have to spend the 2,700 gold and then wait 10 minutes. I mean, if they reduced the growth time to, like, to a maximum of 5 minutes and you get, like, that amount or whatever, that would be speeding it up. But you still have to get the 2,700 gold, which takes about, what, 10 to 15 minutes, and then wait another 10 mm-hmm. minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're still hitting the point where... Okay, so it's 100 gold different when you back... You might still back at the same time to finish your Rod of Ages as you did before. With that, you get Rod of Ages, you start stacking it, you still will hit the point old Rod of Ages did, sooner with the new Rod of Ages because you double the AP and mana that you get from it. Because you got 200 mana at 10 minutes, now you get 400 mana at 10 minutes, so you get... You get the same amount before you did before at the 5 minute mark in half the time. Same with the AP. So I think it still does speed it up. It's just it ramps up faster or feels like it ramps up faster. the slope of the curve is steeper.
I don't know.
Okay, that's actually a really good way to put it. Okay, now let's talk about something that the slope of the curve is slower, and that's void staff.
Void staff. Cost and AP increased on void staff.
Yeah, so here's the thing. This is a necessary item in virtually every AP mids build.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you're slowed to get it is going to hurt, but it's also a much larger power spike now that you do. This may also increase void staff's early buy viability in order to get you that early penetration, where as it used to stand, you were giving up a shitload of damage if you spent this much to get a percent penetration.
Yeah. I mean, before you could get this as a first item if you're like, if the opportunity presented itself and you just needed a quick kill kind of thing.
If you were playing against a Galio, you'd buy it as a first item. Otherwise, I don't see why else you would ever do that. But now, because the AP is increased to something meaningful, mm-hmm. you know, remember, percent reductions are only good if your opponent has a chance to actually build a meaningful amount of resistance. Right? Otherwise, you'd be better with just AP and let them reduce your AP that you bought with mm-hmm. the resistance, right? There's the break-even point on resistances. You have to have quite a few resistances, period, right? Before this was always a good item. Plus, the AP on it was so low that it didn't really make your spells feel like they were hitting harder if you weren't shredding some kind of resistance.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's much better all around. Not only does it do more AP, but you get the shred. So if anybody builds early resistances, you actually have a tool that's not flat pin to help deal.
Void staff was generally almost always a third or fourth, maybe a fifth buy for me. And so within the patch notes, though, they haven't said that the Blasting Wand is being replaced for the Needlessly Large Rod.
On the Void Staff? Void
Staff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're still same recipe as before. Which you're
basically having to farm, like, 1,500 after you have the Amp Tome and the Blasting Wand. 1,600, because the combined cost is going to be.
I mean, it's an increase of
huge. Almost... It used to be what 1,050, after you had the two items.
So now it's 200. It's roughly 200 more. Yeah. 205 more.
And so.
That's a lot of time. That's uncomfortable to sit on. I mean, it's really sucky to sit on. If I had 1,500 and I'm like waiting for that void stuff, I'm like, I could start my Needlessly Large Rod. Item now, if I wanted to, if I was really impatient. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's very uncomfortable to sit on the two items and wait for this combined cost.
Like, I'd rather, like, almost have, like, that Fiendish Codex build where you build Amp Tome into something else to have the smaller combined cost, right? Yeah. That's a good point.
I don't know.
That's a little tough. Yeah, so Void Staff is, I mean, a lot of these items are changing in cost and AP because of what's around them now to keep the how much one AP costs, like, kind of consistent between these with the consideration of the utility and what that costs, blah, 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 basically the item efficiency. So that's what the Void Staff has become. That's the changes for the Void Staffs, but like Ernie said, it's really uncomfortable to sit on that gold.
Let's go back and talk about Leandre.
Yeah, Leandre's Torment. So the cost was increased. Blasting Wand replaces the Amp Tome. So this time, Blasting Wand replaces something. And the AP is increased. So, I know Blake has something to say.
Yeah. This is one of those, this changes everything type of items. This was the equivalent of a Bork before. You would buy it to make your attacks do extra percentage burn, and it was really good on casters that had either dots, like damage over time spells, like Swain, Brand,
Zyra.
Zyra, because her not because she has dots, but because her plants keep tagging you with shots, right? Heimerdinger, Malzahar. These type of champions could take this item and do a lot of mean things with it, right?
Sure.
Now, the downside to this item was, like Bork, it did not have a whole lot of like base damage on it. Because Bork only was like 25 damage or something like that, but a shitload of attack speed and, you know, percent health. This was, yeah, we're going to give you very little actual AP. It was like 40 before, 50. If I remember correctly. Okay, 50. It had 50, you know, and near the same price point as like a needless item to complete.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things that's like, damn, this is a really expensive thing to complete. And the build path, you know, was actually pretty good in terms of like the haunting guys. But you'd be sitting on a haunting guys, then you'd buy an amp tome, and then the combined cost was high. So you'd sit on those things and not really get a whole lot out of the build path except the haunting guys, and, which was really good by itself.
And the thing is, no one, because of that and the efficiency of the item or inefficiency of the item, people just sat on it because, you know, you don't always get to a six build complete like 50-minute game. So you just, it's like Brutalizer. You just keep it in your inventory and sit on it. You just sat on haunting guys.
Right. Haunting guys is a very good point. It is like the Brutalizer of AP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this required like another 980 gold to combine cost it, you know.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculously like punishing almost to complete this item before, versus just sitting on the power spike you get from hunting guys. So, yeah, people would move on to different items and complete it later. Now, with the different components and the fact that you don't have to sit on, well, basically an inferior amplifying tome longer, you can move on to, like, a blasting wand and actually see an increase to your damage. Makes it less friendly to get in terms of, you know, I'm going to add this. Well, okay, I say that, but I'm not honestly completely telling the truth. It requires a larger upfront investment for a bigger power spike versus a smaller investment for a smaller power spike and then a large combined cost.
Yeah.
It's just like you have to pay more upfront, but you get more out of it.
But I still think...
And then you get more in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And I really do think it's better this way because, what, Blasting Wand is 860? Is that right?
No. Going to be 850. Yes.
850? Like, that isn't a like... You'll go back a lot of times with that much money. It's fine. Going back with to buy an amp tome, like you could do that any day. Like that's too easy. Going back with the blasting wand, getting that extra, like that bigger power, bigger spike because you have a blasting wand instead of amp tome and potions or something. Like that's great. That's perfectly fine. It's just a like in every way and form. This is a better build. better. Build path. I actually love this
new change, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then the end product is better.
Yeah, 30 and more ability power.
It gives you AP, so it makes it an actual viable AP Bork style item.
Mm-hmm.
And on those ticking champions, it makes them ridiculous. You are going to see a hell of a lot of like Brand, Zyra, all the people that we listed off a minute ago.
What about the ticking champion Zillion?
Not what I meant. No. God damn it. That's just terrible. Okay.
Oh no, the stream
was
down.
Was that a groaner in honor of Luke leaving last week for his sabbatical?
No, that was
throwing out groaners
that
now.
Was a perfectly fine one. You just didn't
you've
like
taken
it.
Up the torch for Luke. Is that what you're doing here?
Ernie, were you trying to say something? Your internet was coming.
Yeah,
kind of
my internet's dying apparently because I'm running the stream. But
oops.
But
I'll get it working next week for me.
I actually love this change. Liandry's not now very comparable to like Morello's now, because Morello's has 80 AP. And I guess people who don't listen to podcasts and don't get updates and that this coming thing is not a tank meta. Oh, God. Right? People are going to...
Uh-huh. Oh, man. Mooney's going to shit his pants. Literally everything is going to change overnight. He's going to be like, what happened? And I'm going to laugh. I'm going to say, read patch notes, you dumb son of a bitch. You don't deserve to be as good as you are.
But the problem is, Witt's end didn't change, so he's fine.
No, but the Rotted Age has changed, so it's going to hurt him.
That is true. He won't notice. He's like, wow, did the price change? I don't know. Let's get back in line.
Yeah. This is for people that don't get patched or don't read patch notes. Like, I think it's still Tang meta. I'm just going to buy this. I'll wreck them really easily.
So here's the deal. The next three, I feel like we've already talked about Gnasher's Tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Whenever we talked about Kale.
Yep.
So refer to that. Marillanomicon and Athenes, this is something very simple. They added an amplifying tome, which cuts down on your combined cost, which makes it a little friendlier to buy each of these items.
It's funny. As I said that you Blasting Wand's perfectly fine purchase, they get amplifying tome plus 445 gold, which would be basically equal to a Blasting Wand, a little more than a Blasting Wand. But whatever.
But, I mean, the idea is that they want to make this a friendlier idea, like, to purchase for maybe poor people that need CD, like AP supports.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, supports? That sounds...
I think,
thank you. Appreciate it.
In this case, so, yeah, like, the poor supports is probably the best case scenario because, I mean, this coming up, they're, like, taking away every god dang Grievous Wounds, like, from everybody. Like, if you guys haven't noticed, the Misfortune update on PBE, she loses her Grievous Wounds on her W. I didn't know this.
I was going to say that's the only
Blake
good thing about her.
Told me this just like today. And so I was like, people need Morello now because...
Ernie went from being very happy about the change to very upset about the change in like
very
a
upset.
One-minute period. He's like, did you see that? It's pretty cool. Blah, blah, blah. He's like, she loses Grievous Wounds, though. He's like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate this change.
However, Grievous Wounds have now been...
Total Ernie moment.
However, Grievous Wounds has now been implemented into her implant, so now her boobs are bigger, so everyone is happy again.
Grievous boobs.
Grievous boobs.
So what is it? Morello and Athenes, same change. Recipe change. Cost is the same. No additional AP, just easier build path. So the last item is Will of the Ancients. Big change. 50% of the damage dealt before resistances
So
is how you get your heal.
There is no spell vamp on Will of the Ancients anymore. So whatever the damage says on your spell, so like if you're, for instance, Vladimir, if your Q does 200 damage, you're going to take back 15% of that. In health, it's true healing like before resistances,
true blood.
So, it is.
Which that's kind
huge
of a big
deal.
You know what I mean? So, I think this is like kind of a direct boon to anybody who actually used this item for the spell vamp. And that's the only people who would ever use the item. So Mordekaiser, Vlad, et cetera, et cetera. I think you're going to get more out of this item in the long run, but probably less out of it up front.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever they, whenever your enemy doesn't have resistances in the early game, in the early game, 20% is probably better than 15% damage before. But in the late game, 15% flat true heal is better than 20% reduced.
Absolutely. Oof.
So late game Vlad just got more terrifying.
I mean, and think about anyone that just is trying to sustain against a tank that's not going to kill them anyway.
I'm wondering if this...
It's huge.
If we'll see a lot of like Vlad mids, like especially like in the EU LCS, because a lot of teams have been still running Vlad mid. At least Xpeke has.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think that the funny thing is, it used to be that I didn't, like, I played a lot of Vlad, and I honestly never built Rylai's on him, even though I recognize that it can be good because it gives him a lot of stickiness. I never thought it was worth it.
That's cinched, buddy.
And he gets the health in addition that scales back into AP, yep, and vice versa, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I recognize that, yes, it does synergize with his kit, but I thought there were just better options of what you needed. And it's Vlad, I think Rylai's actually has a much more viable argument, yep, now for being in Vlad's kit, because I don't think you need some of the other options that you can forgo now.
Yeah.
So that's actually, like, yes, you could go Rylai's Vlad mid with Will of the Ancients and, like, a Void Staff and a Death Cap, and just
I'm wondering if his, I guess his six item build is gonna be kind of set, because if you go Spirit Visage, Will, Rylai's.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think you need to anymore, because Will of the Ancients is gonna give you that true healing. You don't need the 20% bonus your healing. Because remember, that's only like a 4% spell vamp.
That's right? True.
I think you get more out of Rylai's
just
now than you would out of Spirit Visage.
AP ratio type stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, granted, this is all speculation. I have not had the opportunity to play it with the change, because obviously the patch isn't even out yet. But I wonder, I think Vlad is going to be very strong with these changes.
Yeah.
He benefits off of a lot of these changes.
I agree.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy. So, just a summary. So basically, what you should, it's a lot of information. I think what is really important to get out of this is that build what you... Look at your champion and look what these items do utility-wise and build accordingly. Like, I think people are going to win a lot of games based on their champion selection, like who they pick, what AP champions they pick and how they itemize it according to the enemy team. Like now in ranked play, right? In your solo queue games, you see a big tank, you see tanks. You play support Zyra pretty well. Why don't you bring her mid and build Liandry's? And actually finish it, you know? And think about bringing...
Did I turn off my video like a year ago and nobody told me?
Yeah.
I just turned it back on.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder when that happened.
It was a while ago.
Stream. Apologies. Why didn't anybody say anything to me?
Now Ernie has to fix the layout.
Why didn't anybody say anything? I'm like, I feel like a jackass for the last like 30 minutes. That sucks.
Look at Ernie, he's so stressed now.
He actually got like hand on the brow upset. Like, son of a bitch, I gotta fix this crap now.
He flexed out some beard hair.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect, Ernie. Ernie,
that was so manly of you. So manly, in fact, that you should use Gentleman's Beard Balm.
Oh, God.
Purchasable now with the passcode Lola for 15% or so off.
15% or so. So, yeah, what I was saying is, like, really think about what you're building, because it's not about, oh, I want to do damage, so I got to build one of the API, like, the needless items. Like, there's a lot more. Oh, we just did the needlessly large item rod item, like, itemization miniseries thing, didn't we? Like,
God damn it,
a month ago. Whatever.
What good timing for us.
Well, the last time we did it was like a month ago. But anyway, so
Mobile
really...
podcast stands really, the test of time.
Really think about what your enemy team comp looks like and who's fed there and who's a threat. Think about what your kit does well and build accordingly. Like, that is going to make you climb, like, immediately in this, like, next patch when people don't know what the
hell
is
going on. Let's summarize this. You have a ball, you're going to throw it. Or Malzahar. And then it's gonna poof.
I have no idea.
Let's just say everything's gonna hit the fan. Okay.
Your analogies. What the fuck with your analogies, dude? Like, that is the worst analogy. You're going to throw a ball and it's going to disappear. Are we in a magic show with patch 5.13? Like, what the fuck?
You really like the Syndra changes. The balls don't disappear anymore once you hit wind wall. There you go. All right, so a lot of these items...
Sam clearly speaks Ernie. That's apparently how that works out.
I just had a translator from Spanish. Spanish Korean.
Feliz Navidad.
So anyway,
Feliz Navidad. API
optimization. Maybe we'll talk about this a little more in depth later once we try it out, because it's a lot, and I wish we could have talked about it a little more, but good stuff. So moving on with the podcast, like just wrapping things up, let's... iTunes reviews.
iTunes review. So we have a new one from Angry Aaron. It's punny. Ha ha. Smiley face. Angry Aaron. Why should you listen to this podcast and not one of the other, say, five? Because you have a group of people that get at each other, make fun of each other, make horrible jokes, yet no matter what, will accept you for who you are. It's your support group for a game that you're addicted to. So hear them argue over topics like, who has the best beard? It's me, and only me, because I'm the only one with the beard anymore. Settled. Peace out, Luke. Suck it. Anyway, why is Ernie so sad?
I'm smiling, okay? I don't know about you. I'm smiling. Mythbusters
on that one, you know? There you go. Or why certain things in the game make them feel one way or the other. In the end, though, there's always the hug and the love that you want. So grab your Snuggie, cozy up with a sexy cougar. For the kids that don't get that reference for whatever reason, they're older ladies that will be in relationships with younger guys. Thanks for the definition there. Your mom may be one if she's, say, 2 years older than your dad. So if that's your mom, call her a cougar. I'm not making this up. This is written in the review. So let's keep going. And listen to an episode of League of Legends Anonymous podcast, smiley face. You won't be disappointed. Unless your name is Ernie, then I'm sorry. Love you guys.
Thanks, smiley Angry face.
Thanks, Angry Aaron.
Thank you. Yeah, that was
appreciate it. My racist Korean joke goes out to you earlier. It's dedicated to Angry Aaron.
All right. With that, we actually have no emails. We got through all of them with the mailbag. So write in some emails. We'll get on them more promptly than we have before. It's going to be awesome. New leaf. That basically wraps up the show. Just leading off with some announcements. We got some June donators. So I just want to, besides the ones that have already donated, our new ones are AK3331, Local Libre, and Papa Gamer. Those guys are awesome, awesome, awesome people. And yes, I know the link is not the right link, so you can ignore that. But those are our June donators, our patrons.
Also handsome and charming people.
Mm-hmm.
Probably have full, thick beards in need of some sort of balm that they could purchase for a discount.
Yeah.
You know, just throwing it out there.
What's our second announcement, Blake?
That we have a product sponsorship with Gentleman's Beard Balm. If you wish to purchase some delicious Gentleman's delicious. Whoa, back that up. Do not eat Beard Balm. God damn it. We are the worst advertisers. I hope we even get people to be interested in one can of this.
If you eat it, though, it's not toxic. It's organic.
Well, let's see if it has
all natural ingredients.
Beeswax, shea butter, essential oils, barbasu oil, argan oil, jojoba oil, and fragrances.
And Canadian cum.
Unlike other beard balm products, there is zero Canadian semen in this product. So
you're here first.
I have tested it. It works. Smells great. My beard's soft. I got no stray hairs in this baby. Buy yourself a can. Check it out. I think you'll be happy with the results because you smell good smelling stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be mad about that. Everything smells good. Life's good. Makes you happier. You know what they call that? They call that aromatherapy. Aromatherapy in your face that's on your beard. Can't beat it. Plus, it's like soft And so food won't get stuck in there as much, probably.
Never, never, ever, ever.
Just fall right out, and then you can eat it.
And the food will taste good when you eat it.
The food will smell awesome. So, yeah. All right. Beard bomb. Password, Lola. Go check it out.
Promo code, Lola. In addition to that, don't forget, we have community games. We have Dolby Axon channel. Get in touch with us, man. Email us, all that stuff. Check out our Patreon page. Check out our... what is it? YouTube channel. We got that karaoke stream, karaoke stream up on YouTube, which was hilarious. We did our team comp stuff, which
deleted. On the YouTube video for the karaoke, let it go a little while. It gets better after the first song.
Oh my God, Ernie! The next Ernie steals the show.
Yeah, Ernie elevates us to a whole another level of badass. Oh my God, karaoke.
I couldn't watch it.
Oh, that was exciting.
I did watch the first one. I'm like, oh my God, this is so painful. But then whenever we got in the next few songs, I was like, okay, it's better. It's getting much better. But yeah, we're on full bore with the Patreon rewards. We love that stuff. And we really want to thank everybody who's taken the time and devoted the financial support to the show. It really means a lot. And in upcoming weeks, we're planning to upgrade the audio quality of the show. Mm-hmm. Is potentially an option that we've got. We may pick up some new microphones and pop filters and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, basically we want to return this to you guys as best we can, and that's improving what we're doing, whether it's server costs or audio quality or whatever.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that is it for episode 58 of the Lola Podcast. We will see you guys next week.
Have a good night.
Good night, everybody!
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Lola Podcast. If you've enjoyed the episode, drop us a review on iTunes and we'll read it on air. If you want to reach out to us, find all of our social media and contact info in the episode description or our website, lolapodcast.com. Want to get real intimate? Join our in-game chat client, Lola Podcast, one word, and our Dolby Axon voice chat rooms. This way, you can get to play games with us and have a good lot of fun. Check our website for those details. Again, this is Just Casual with the whole Lola team saying thanks for listening. So next time, see you on the rift. Bow, 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 chicka bow, 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 chicka bow, chicka bow.